Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Yes, indeed. And somebody says, the Brits are intolerable. They're now saying judo is coming home, an ancient Japanese art. I made the mistake of flicking to the BBC to watch the Olympics. Never again. I hate that expression anyway, coming home. The idea that, soccer, some form of football existed in every country on the planet. I think when they say coming home, it was that Britain would have been the first to formalise the soccer into an association and stuff. But it does get up every people's nose, including yours truly as well, every time. But I think in fairness to English people, they too are fed up of hearing it as well and tend to dismiss it. It's a small minority that sort of still loves to sing Britannia rules the waves and all that kind of all nonsense. Clem, I'm an old age pensioner and I owe €700. That keeps me awake at night and I keep getting letters from them wondering, would they write that off, says Anna. Yes, this is my point, Anna, earlier. Somebody gets a €14 million debt written off, is allowed to continue living in a €950,000 home, and other arrangements made as well. Yeah, it does make the cynics believe that there's one law for the rich, and maybe the who used to be rich in this case, and one law for the poor as well in regards to that. Now, someone sent me a headline saying Kildare residents face property tax hike. Well, we had discussed that in the programme, actually, yesterday. It was confirmed in this programme. Mark Stafford came on and confirmed a 2.5% rise in the property tax here, and he gave the reasons for it, which included that all money, every penny raised in the property tax in County Kildare, is spent in the towns and villages and rural hinterlands of County Kildare as well. That was all explained on yesterday's programme, but thank you for reminding us again. Now, a new report highlights the significant, what it calls the significant contribution made by the greyhound racing industry to the Irish Exchequer and rural employment. That report is published at Shelburne Park just yesterday by Greyhound Racing Ireland. The author is Jim Power, the economist who's been on this programme commenting on the national economic situation from time to time. Compiled by him, shows the industry made a net contribution to the Irish economy of €132.3 million in 2019. Let's hear more about that, because I'm joined by the CEO of Greyhound Racing Ireland, Ger Dollard, again. Good morning, Ger.
Morning, Clem.
Thank you for coming back to us again.
Thank you.
€132.3 million contribution to the Irish economy, Ger. That's certainly a headline figure. We'll talk about other figures from that in a couple of minutes' time, because I've been looking and reading the report indeed last night, which one of the main points in the summary is that it's an important part of the social and economic fabric of rural Ireland, supports considerable employment directly and indirectly down through the supply chain. Tell me about that figure of €132.3 million to the economy.
Yeah, I suppose, Clem, the €132.3 million is only half the story. Jim Power Economics has estimated the wage bill for the sector, and then he has looked at the multiplier effect of that. And he basically comes out with a conservative figure, I would say, of the net income generated by the industry of about €132.3 million. In addition to that, I think you'll see he also has covered in the report there the cost of breeding, training, feeding, rearing greyhounds, the money spent by all the owners and trainers, and he's come up with a figure there of €118 million.
And so, I'll come to that, yeah, later on, indeed, because I was intrigued about that. Just to point out, there are 14 tracks in the control and management of Greyhound Racing Ireland. They are Cork, Galway, Limerick, Mullingar, our own Newbridge, Shelburne Park, Tralee, Waterford, Youghal, Clonmelan, Dundalk, Enniscorthy, Kilkenny and Thurles are regarded as private tracks. But I think privately owned, that is, but under the management of your organisation as well. Is that correct, Chair?
Well, they all operate under the regulations and the statutory arrangements associated with greyhound racing, but they do manage themselves. We would provide funding in relation to prize money and other operating grants, so there is financial support from Greyhound Racing Ireland. I think it's also interesting, as you mentioned, the number of tracks. Later on this year, we will see a reopening of a track, and that's a reopening of Lifford Greyhound Track, where a private consortium have come together and have come up with a novel and innovative approach to running commercial greyhound racing. And I think that sits well in terms of the report which Jim Power did, and that there is considerable support for and interest in commercial greyhound racing, and I think the Lifford proposal is testament to that.
All right, before we talk about all the positives that are highlighted in the report, let's get to the elephant in the room, which you and I have discussed in the past year, and the report in section 2 says, excuse me, the operating environment for the greyhound racing industry has been challenging in recent years. COVID-19, of course, has had a significant impact on everything, including your industry, but other issues include the increasingly negative perception of the industry, care and welfare issues, the sale and closure of some racing tracks, Brexit, and another general trend towards reduced attendances at many Irish sporting events, not just the greyhound industry. But what about that, you and I have discussed this in the past, that negative perception of the industry, in particular regarding care and welfare issues?
There's no doubt, Clem, that it has been a challenging period for the greyhound industry, and I think, as you mentioned yourself, it's been equally challenging for a lot of other sports as well. The negative perception, I think we have dealt with that in the sense that we have a very ambitious care and welfare programme. A huge amount has happened over the last number of years. I suppose it all started with the Welfare of Greyhounds Act back in 2011. But the board is absolutely intent and 100% committed to ensuring that the highest standards of care and welfare apply in the sector. And if people don't abide by those standards, well, then the regulatory force of the Greyhound Racing Ireland as a statutory body will be felt. I suppose some of the items that we have done, we now have a care centre. We have 5 foster care centres approved. We have a traceability system. We have a care fund. We have a financial scheme to support greyhound injuries at tracks so that greyhounds can be looked after and enjoy a very happy retirement. And I think our rehoming programme literally has gone through the roof. In the first 6 months of this year, we have done 1,246 rehomings. Back in 2019, we only did 974 in the full year. So we'll comfortably exceed, I would say, over 2,000 rehomings this year. And I think that shows that the infrastructure and supports are now in place to ensure that the care and welfare of racing greyhounds after their racing career is being accommodated and looked after.
Does that include what was much criticised at the time, dogs being exported to all sorts of countries which would not at all have remotely the same welfare concerns as we might have here?
Yeah, and again, we've made this point. I mean, Greyhound Racing Ireland, or indeed anybody in Ireland, can't be held responsible for the practices or cultures of foreign countries. But we have made it quite clear to people, and I think the greyhound community have seen how inadvertently at times it can happen that a greyhound is exported and ends up in a country with poor welfare practices. We've made it clear through our code of practice, through engagement with the greyhound industry, that exports to countries that do not have similar welfare standards to Ireland should not happen.
Okay.
Having said that, anybody can export any breed of dog today to any country that they wish, and it's an issue that needs to be dealt with at EU and world trade level, but you can't legally stop somebody from exporting any breed of animal abroad.
Yeah, indeed. And just a final point on this. I see in the report, by the way, it seems to reflect very positively on the very, very low level of dope testing. Not the low level of dope testing, but the low level of any transgression in regards to dope testing, with significant amounts of dope testing now being carried out.
Yeah, I mean, since 2015, we actually publish any adverse finding that we come across, and that's even before the control committee adjudicates on that finding. And I think that level of transparency has brought it home to people that if you do misbehave, it will happen. We do about 5,000 tests a year. I think there was 11 positive tests last year. And just to keep everybody on their toes, we've extended our sampling regime from urine sampling would be seen as the standard in the greyhound industry, but we also do blood sampling from time to time. We do it as part of events, we do it at people's kennels. So there's a sort of a dual regime in place to make sure that the highest standards of integrity are...
Okay, I'll come back to the positives in a moment in terms of the economy and that. How concerned would you be, Ger, that 126,396 patrons attended greyhound meetings? It's almost 73% lower than 2019, when 462,709 patrons attended race meetings. How concerned would you be, and should you be, and your colleagues, about a decline of 73%?
Yeah, well, I suppose firstly, Clem, it's important to find out what you're comparing there is a normal year and a COVID year. I mean, in 2020, we were closed for 3 months.
Okay.
And for the remainder of the year, we were restricted. So the 2020 figure is not a normal figure. The figure we would be working on is a 2019 figure of 462,000. I think the Jim Power report states that there is a prospect or an expectation that a figure of 635,000 in terms of attendance could be achieved in 2023 because we all have to get over COVID. On attendance, I mean, the whole sporting area has changed. We have a lot of people now who participate in greyhound racing but don't actually attend the track. They can actually watch it on their phone. We started a Talking Dogs TV program every Saturday night on a pay-per-view basis. So again, people don't need to attend. They can actually watch it on their TV at home. So really what we're looking at is, I suppose, participation levels, how many people are involved in the industry at various levels, rather than the physical attendance at tracks. But we would obviously like to see an improvement in physical attendance at tracks, but I think all sports are seeing a decline in that area because there is so many opportunities now to avail of sport without actually physically being there. And the fear, I suppose, across the board would be that post-COVID, will people feel comfortable coming back in crowds in the short to medium term, and will they continue to avail of the online options available? And that's a challenge for us all.
All right. Later on, I want to just go to some stats in the report on the number of owners and trainers, particularly in counties like Kildare and that. But going back to those, financial statistics and that, and the report also covers, and I'm around page 13 at the moment, funding for the greyhound industry. It's as the report says, you receive significant funding from the state through the Horse and Greyhound Funding Racing Fund under section 12 of the Horse and Greyhound Racing Act 2001. I think the total of that is around 69 million in total. Yourselves, I think you were paid 16.8 million through this fund, and it increased to eventually 19.2 million in 2021. It is significant funding, is it not, Chair?
It is very significant funding, Clem, and I suppose the increase in 2021 was a COVID increase, because when you're prevented from running your commercial operations due to COVID, well, the government, like a lot of sectors, has put in place.
And where does that 19 million go?
Well, where the 19 million goes, a large element of it would be used towards funding prize money at various tracks. I think we spend about 9 million a year on that. There's a National Greyhound Laboratory, there's a regulatory function, there's the whole care and welfare program, there's the maintenance and operation of the stadia. But I think on the other side, when you look at the spend by government, on the other side, you have an income coming into government through the betting levy. That was 95 million in 2019. So there is a return from the sector as well. And I think Jim Power does make the point that the objective of successive governments has been to promote more balanced regional development. And I think the greyhound industry does make a very strong contribution to the rural economic activity and employment, particularly in rural areas.
So I see nearly an employment payroll of nearly 1,000, and in addition to that, other expenses as well, where Jim Power says the total number deriving economic benefit from the industry amounts to 10,361 people. In terms of owners by county, by the way, just to mention to people, we have 262 owners here in Kildare, which is number 44%. Interestingly, counties like Cork, Kerry, Limerick have the highest amounts. Next door to us in Wicklow, they've just 85. But in Kildare, a big cohort of 262 owners. And when I look down at the breakdown of trainers by county, again, Cork, Kerry, places even as far afield as Antrim would be among the high numbers, particularly though Cork and even Dublin with 15. Kildare has 18 owners. Again, a percentage of about 4.5%, or I should say trainers, which mirrors the owners' stats as well. Let's go back to those figures now, Jim, or Gerard, that we talked about earlier on. 132.3 million in 2019 into the economy, 4,150 full-time and part-time jobs, 6,211 active greyhound owners around the country, etc., and an investment of a further 117.8 million made by greyhound owners in 2019 in preparing and racing greyhounds.
Correct, and I suppose the point the whole report is making, and that the stats you have outlined there, is that the greyhound industry is still a significant sector in the economy. Despite all the challenges, it still makes a significant contribution, both from the social, the economic, and I would say cultural and heritage aspects of it. And that, on the basis of the stats that are there in the report, it is deserving of government support, given the objectives of government and the level of activity. Practically at 14 tracks right around the country, there is a significant reach, and there are a lot of people who the greyhound industry is their life.
And Jim Power, in his report, in the conclusions, in the final part of it, says government support for the sector is very important, and in the absence of such a report, there would be considerable implications for rural employment and economic activity. The overall objective of government in terms of its funding of the greyhound industry is to ensure that the sector achieves its maximum potential and to ensure that it continues to make a significant contribution to economic and social development. Do you think that the amount of money being poured into the industry, 19 million in supports, is justified for the return back to the economy and back to Irish society in general?
I think the figures speak for themselves, Clem. Jim Power, 132 million, economic contribution, 118 million. Been spent by owners and trainers, and 95 million coming into government through the betting levy. And when you look below that, the impact in relation to the social needs of the country, the cultural needs, the heritage needs, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a huge industry, and as I said, for a lot of people, it is their life. And I've no doubt post-COVID, I think COVID has sort of moved people over towards the natural way of life and caring for animals and looking after animals. I can see a lot more people becoming interested in having a greyhound, either as a racing greyhound or having a greyhound in retirement, and the numbers again prove that that is actually happening.
Indeed, and we have a great tradition here from the likes of Dolores Roos, Fraser Black and many others as well who've been successful to the very highest level. And then we have those people who do it on a more social basis as well, and those we see more and more people walking greyhounds that they have adopted. Absolutely. And they make great, great pets. The report is the economic and financial significance of the Irish greyhound industry. Jim Power, the economist, well-known economist, contributed to this programme, has written it. And Chair Dollar, before we go, can I wish you well in your retirement, if you're, I understand you're stepping down from the position in later in the year. And thank you indeed for the occasions you've spoken with us here, and we wish you well.
Yeah, thank you very much, Devin. I'm actually not retiring. It's a bit like a lot of people in COVID. I'm sort of going for a change of scene. I've enjoyed GRI, where we're, I suppose, heading into a busy period now with the Derby coming up, the biggest competition of the year, the budget, etc. So there's always something exciting happening in the greyhound industry. But thanks to you, Clem, and Kildare FM for the support and the coverage you've given us over the years. Very much appreciated.
Well, we'll wait with bated breath to see where you pop up, Ger Dollard. we might have cause to talk again. Listen, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Clem.
And good talking to you. Good morning to you.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, yesterday on the programme we spoke extensively with the road safety, Brian Farrell of the Road Safety Authority. The whole area came up around speed limits, around roads and that. And Councillor Bill Clear got in touch with us regarding a road safety review of speed limits that's taking place in the county. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Clare, more listeners.
Thank you for joining us again. Now, tell me what's going on with this speed limit review, because we had a couple of issues raised by listeners in regards to it.
Yeah, and from today, people can go onto the Kildare County Council website, and there's under consult, and they will see that there is a speed limit review of all the roads in, not just in Ireland, not just in Kildare, but in Ireland. But the ones we're concerned about at the moment is in Kildare, and these are being done under the 2004 Act guidelines. And I suppose really the issue I really had was when I hear the RSA saying people, education and enforcement, it really bothers me the fact that they had a big hand in these speed limits. And just to be sure, there's 200 roads in Kildare, and majority of them will have their speed limits increased. So all rural roads will be going to 80 kilometres an hour.
So on the one hand, we're telling people slow down, and what you're saying is speed limits are being increased across all the roads in this county, and you're laying that at the door of the Road Safety Authority, or the National Roads Authority, who?
Well, the government and the Road Safety Authority, Department of Transport and Road Safety Authority, they're the ones who set the speed limits. They're the ones who do it. And when they come on and they give us the details, you know, and they say education enforcement, you know, how about speed reductions? You know, reducing speeds, not just in rural Ireland, which account for 82% of the deaths in Ireland. 82% of people who are killed are in rural Ireland, but also in towns where they refuse to reduce them to 30 kilometres an hour. It's all 50. The middle of Naas is 50. The middle of Salins, who's had two fatalities, is 50. Kiljohnstown, Ballymore, those places, all 50 kilometres an hour. I've been looking for 30 kilometres an hour. But, look, let's be honest, let's be straight up. The man was killed last night, you know? He was a pedestrian on a road, and
we have to be careful, Bill. Just for a second, Bill. Hold on, please. Yeah, just for a second. We have to be careful. I don't want to attribute what happened last night in any way to the conversation we're having. You'll understand why, because that's fully under consideration. I'm intrigued by the fact, Bill, of the campaign for Jake's Law within housing estates, I know, for 30 kilometres an hour. 30 kilometres an hour is quite a significant speed. If you hit somebody at 30 kilometres an hour, you'll do serious damage. And you're telling me that in many cases, 30 kilometre speed limits are being increased to 50?
No, they won't reduce them to 30.
Existing ones are 50, reduce. Yeah.
Yeah, you can drive up the middle of Naas at 50, and somebody has been clocked doing over 100 kilometres through Naas, you know, and not so long ago. The point, I suppose, really is that, you know, we need people to slow down in the middle of the towns and the villages, and in the countryside where people are vulnerable walking, you know, people like to go for a walk, and I see my own family down in Wexford, and they just don't go for a walk on the country roads anymore, you know, because it's so dangerous, you know, you cannot do two side by side. It's so dangerous to do it, and the people are coming into the towns to go for walks, you know. I meet people all the time who are from, you know, the rural areas, you know, to my house, and they come into town to go for a walk. I mean, that's nuts, you know. And the RSA be saying, wringing their hands, going, oh, look, this is terrible, we need more education and more enforcement. If someone is allowed to do 80 kilometres an hour in any country road in the whole of Ireland, any country road, that they're entitled to do it. And, you know, if there's a little bit above it, they're not going to be done. You know, the only thing that's slowing them down is probably the quality of the road.
All right, let's come back then to this speed limit review that's been carried out by the council. It's opening today and the public can feed into it. But we've had just one or two concerns from people. How long has it been left open for?
A month. So it's really important that people go look at that. Now, I'll be highlighting myself as all the ones in Kildare. There's 200 of them in the road. I'll be highlighting them all, where they are. But, you know, they're not going to be relying. A lot of people don't look at social media, don't look. But maybe it's something maybe you could do. And I know it's 200 roads. And I know the way you read out, you yourself and Owen read out, you know, and Kira read out, you know, stuff. But, you know, it's so important to all of Kildare that they know that where these roads are, you know.
I think probably what will happen here, Bill, is that everybody will feed, if that feeds into this report or this submission, will do so in regards to their own particular local roads. So on that, how will they, just very briefly, Bill, I need to go to another topic. How can people log on, or where do they log on to make their submission and give their views?
Well, they go to Kildare County Council. If you Google Kildare County Council consult, it'll come up to their page, and there's a few consultations going on, and then you'll see the speed limit review. But, I mean, if you look out your road or anywhere around your area and you see a speed limit of less than 80 kilometres an hour, that's going to be changed. More or less, that's going to be changed. So I would encourage everyone to contact their local councillor. And all the councillors have been hot on this.
All right.
In fairness to them, they all have been hot on this to say, yeah, what's going to happen in my area, you know? And it's really important. And it's really important for people in the urban areas, you know, to say, listen, we really need 30 kilometres an hour in the towns, you know, because it's been resisted by various, you know.
All right, we'll leave it there, Bill. So thank you for
thank
that,
you very
because
much.
I just have to move on, but that's very important that everybody feeds into that on the County Council website, KCC, in regards to that, and make your views known on the speed limits. Kira.
Yeah, thank you, Clem. I am joined now by Dara Keogh, the Chief Executive of Geodirectory. Good morning, Dara.
Morning, Kira.
And thank you for the time this morning. Just to get into the details of the GeoDirectory GeoView Residential Buildings Report for quarter two of 2021, over 1,800 buildings were under construction here in County Kildare in June 2021. Just how many of those, Dara, were residential?
All of those are residential. This is just a report on the residential property market nationally and then by county. And in Kildare, there was 1,827.
Dara, if you could just move around slightly. Sites. Unfortunately, your line is breaking up there. Just get into a better coverage area, hopefully.
Okay, how's that?
Yeah, it sounds a bit better. Do you want to go ahead, Dara?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, so in Kildare, there's the residential.
I think, Kira, we'll have to leave that maybe into the next hour or maybe tomorrow because Dara's line is terrible, actually, and we'd be only frustrating listeners, and Dara wouldn't, who's excellent at getting the details of that report across, wouldn't be able to do so. So maybe we'll just leave that one for the moment and take a bit of a break.